Welcome to all those that are joining us for the Shir in Likutei Moran. We're in the middle of Chapter 7, Torah Zion, in the second half of Likutei Moran. Chapter 7, we're in the middle of Paragraph Ches. Before we begin, we dedicate the Shir today, Le'ilui Nishmas, Avraham ben Aharon, the father of our friend Robert Weiss, and also Ratz Yisora, Bas Rabbi Yisrael Abba, the sister of Rav Rosenfeld, Zechron Avraham. And also for a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it. We're in the middle of discussing the topic of makifin. Rabbeinu Zal introduced this topic in paragraph hey of this chapter. Makifin means that knowledge which a person hasn't yet acquired. The knowledge that's in a inside a person's head is referred to as pnimi. Pnim, it's inside. The knowledge which I don't have yet is referred to as makif. Makif means like a halo, a circle, something that's around my head, but I haven't been able to take it inside yet. And there are makifin which we can achieve. A person every day is trying to learn more, get smarter, and convert makifin into pnimim. Take knowledge that I didn't have before, and now I have attained it. And Rabbeinu Zal told us that each time a person acquires a makif, and the makif becomes a pnimi, the person gets a new makif. Something higher, and this process continues. And we spoke about it quite a bit, and we mentioned that there are certain makifin that a person is not allowed to entertain. There are certain makifin that are out of our reach completely. We cannot possibly understand it in this world. And if a person tries to, they're getting into a danger zone. So sometimes a person has to be careful not to ask certain questions and not to answer certain questions, because by providing the answer to the question, I'm setting up the next question. And the next question could be a dangerous question that's taking me to that place of lemalam and azman, certain questions that can only be answered in the next world. Now Rabbeinu Zal says in paragraph Tes, V'tzorich lichloil ha'oilamois, elyoin batachtoin, batachtoin be'elyoin. It's important to bring together the two worlds, the upper and lower, to connect the upper one to the lower one and the lower one to the upper one. Sheyia haben kolul mebechinas talmid, that the son should have some aspects of the student, v'chein ha-talmid yeh kolul mebechinas ben, and that the student should have some aspects of the son. Kedei sheyia lohem yira, in order that they will have a very important component that's needed in Yiddishkeit, which is yira, respect. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain exactly how this works. Ki habein shehu bebchinas hasoko shel ma, because as we learned earlier, the son, we said, is the higher level, the one who has the level of understanding that's called ma, what, which is above Chochmah, the Keser, which is referred to as Ma, Bechinas Mechomis, what do you see? The Imkain, Lo Yir Lo Yira Klal. If the sun is on the level that he doesn't see anything, like you're showing him the message he's being given is that you don't know anything, then he won't have any Yira, Me'achar She'enoi Roye Klal Kvoido Yisborach, because he doesn't see the honor of Hashem at all. He's being told, you don't know anything. If you recall, we mentioned by Moshe Rabbeinu that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked to see Hashem, Hashem said, can't. Ki lo yirani odom v'choi. A human being cannot see me and live. So we said that the hasaga of Moshe Rabbeinu's level of understanding of Hashem was called ki lo yirani. You can't see. You can't see, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu's level was above Chochmah. The eyes are referred to as Chochmah. Vatipokach meinei shneim. Moshe Rabbeinu's level of connection to Hashem was above that, on a level that you can't see. It's higher than that. But if a person doesn't see at all, then they don't know what to be afraid of. So even a person on that level has to be given something to hold on to, in a sense. They're going to a place which is above all gashmias, it's above all standard chachma, but they have to be given something. V'al kein tzorech sheyia haben kol mebechinas talmid. And therefore, the one who is the son here, who's on the higher level, must have some of the Talmud in him. Meaning, Laharois Lebechinas Ben Gam Ken Ktsas Mehasoga Shebechinas HaTalmud. When we're teaching the son, we can't just tell him, you don't know anything, nothing, 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 nothing. Because if nothing, then nothing. Then there's nothing to respect either. We have to give him also a piece of the Talmud. We have to give him also a piece of something. That we give him some idea that he does have a connection to something tangible also. Dehainu b'chinas maloi chol oretz kevoidoi. We have to give the Ben also a taste of that message of maloi chol oretz kevoidoi, that Hashem is everywhere, even with you, even in the lowest places. Kedei sheyir lo yira, so that he'll be able to have respect. Because when a person is in beetle mode, complete beetle, where he's above knowledge, above all kelim, then the person cannot serve Hashem. The person can't do mitzvos because he's in a place of beetle, nothingness. V'chein ha-talmid, and so too the student, she-hasagosoi b'chinas maloi chol oretz kevoidoi, where his perception of Hashem, the message we're giving him is that Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is with you all the way down, no matter where you are, no matter how bad, Hashem is right there. The imkain yuchal lehizbatel b'metzius. He also can become null and void. If you tell him you're right with Hashem, you're connected to Hashem 100%. Connected to Hashem, then wow, I'm perfect. V'alkein tzorich laharois loy ktsas mehasogo shel bechinas talmid. And therefore we have to share with the student a little bit of the message of the Talmud also, to get him to know that there's a lot he doesn't know, that Hashem is still also way above him. Dehainu b'chinas ma, kedei shelo yizbatel b'metzius, said that he shouldn't get blown away by being given this realization that mamish, he's in Hashem's embrace, he's in Hashem's pocket. I'm right there with Hashem, I'm chas shom, like he's equal to Hashem, or anything like that. The yelo yira, so that he will have yira. Now, this isn't an easy concept to understand or to explain. But what Rabbeinu Zal is telling us basically is that either extreme here can be harmful. It's very important that each one, and here again, it's an important message. The Gemara says that when a rabbi is teaching students, there's got to be a double punch. Smoil doiche, yemin mekarev. With the left hand pushing away, with the right hand bringing close. With the left hand pushing away, meaning no matter how good or bad the person is, the person has to be shown a little bit of distancing, that we're not buddy-buddies, we're not equal. The rabbi and the student are not equal. You're still a student and I'm still a rabbi. So there's the smol doiche, but the yamin, the stronger hand, is bringing close. So there's this double effect. And Rabbeinu Zal here is showing us that this applies on both levels. The person's on a very high level, whom this person is constantly getting hammered, you don't know anything, constantly being shown that they don't know anything. If you do that enough, chas v'shalom, you can convince the person that they don't belong here and get them to leave, chas v'shalom, completely. So you have to sometimes give them a little bit of a feeling that they're in, that they're good, there's a lot of good there. And it's at the same time, the person who's on a low level, who we're telling them, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good, you know, and everything you're doing is so special and everything, we have to be careful to temper that with a little bit of the Bechina of Ben, that don't think, Mamash, you're the biggest, we're going to put you in charge already, we're going to make you the teacher, you know. Have to give him a taste of the Ben in order for both of them to be able to maintain a degree of yira, a degree of respect, of knowing their place and being motivated to do better, to get better, each one on their level. Okay, now, in the next piece, we're going to enter into a whole new section of this chapter in Likutei Moran, which is connected to what we've been learning before, but now Rabbeinu Zal, based on everything we've been learning till now, he's going to take us into the topic of Parnassa. He's going to show us how all of this relates to earning a livelihood and achila, eating, which is a term that's used sometimes to refer to as parnasa. We say a person doesn't have what to eat, it means they're not earning a livelihood. That's the way people talk. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Validei Klolius ben v'talmid, by being able to bring together these two levels, upper level and lower level. Al yidei zeh, through this, mi shehu ish chayil, a person who's strong, ve'enoy hahefech, he's not the opposite, shekoyrin roya mazel, which we call in Yiddish, shlamazel. Shlamazel means a person who can never really tries, never really puts in any serious effort. They're a nebuch. They're a nebuch not because they can't do better, but because that's how they perceive themselves. They perceive themselves, I can't. Anytime the person's asked to do anything, before they even hear what they have to do, I can't, it's not for me. There's no way I can do that. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, through the bringing together of Ben and Talmud, upper level and lower level, this will make it that a person who's strong, who yochoy lekabel be'esu achila he'oras harotzon, that person will be able to receive this very high level light that we spoke about earlier called he'oras harotzon, a light of desire, of yearning, deep yearning, during the time of eating. Dehainu, sheyoyer loy harotzoin be'eso achila. That the person will receive this divine light from Hashem during eating. V'yishtoikek v'yichsoif ma'oid elav yisborach berotzoin muflog. The person will yearn to Hashem. The person will want to jump up to Hashem spiritually with an incredible, incredible level of desire. B'lishum yediya. Without any rationale. It has no... Why? Why? I don't know why, but I know that this is what I want, and I want this more than anything else in the world. I want closeness to Hashem. I want to be connected to Hashem. Shelo yeda klal mahu roitze. To a point where a person doesn't know what they want even. They can't, meaning they can't put it into words. There's a term in Shir HaShirim, I believe. Ki choylas ahava oni. I am sick with love. This concept of a person who feels such a deep love that cannot be described in words. The person's soul is jumping out in a sense, reaching out to whatever the person loves so much. A desperation, like a desperate feeling. You get somebody who wants something terribly and they'll jump, they'll cross any kind of boundary, they'll climb any kind of fence or wall to get to it. And again, they'll be able to do things that would be perceived as impossible because the rotzayin is so powerful. Willpower. The Gemara says, Ein dover oimid b'fnei ha-rotzayin, that there's nothing that can stand in the way of willpower. So when that desire is ratcheted up to a peak, to a real peak, that's the highest possible spiritual level. We're told that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he passed away, he went into the level called Rotzayin. The word Moshe is 345, Rotzayin is 346. So when Moshe goes up, he goes up into Rotzayin. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away at the time of the week that's called Rotzayin, Shabbos Mincha, when we say, Va'ani sefilosi lecho Hashem, eis Rotzayin. Hashem, I present my prayer to you now at this time of Rotzayin, of this deep desire and yearning and longing for Hashem. Because we know that Shabbos, in general, is a concept of Rotzayin. Friday night, in Shmon Esrei and in Kiddush, we say, Bi ahava uva Rotzayin hinchilanu, that Hashem has given us Shabbos out of His deep love and His deep desire, goodwill towards us. We say it in Kiddush, we say it in Shmon Esrei, then we say it again Shabbos morning, and we're building, we're going higher and higher until Shabbos Mincha is the peak, the top of the top of this Rotzayin, this deep yearning and longing for Hashem. And this is why, especially among Hasidim, Shabbos Mincha was always the holiest time of the week. That was the time that they would get together, the meal, those people who Friday night and Shabbos morning eat at home, but the Suda Shlishis was usually in shul, together with the Rebbe, with the Tzaddik, eating together, singing together, and the singing is the highest singing of the whole week, the singing Shabbos at Mincha, and then the Divrei Torah that are spoken then at the close of Shabbos, at the peak, the final, the end of Shabbos, when we've climbed to the top of the mountain in a sense. That's this super level of Rotzayin that we're referring to here. V'zeh bechinas, and this is what the pasuk says in Tehillim, Va'ato noisein lohem es ochlam be'itoi. You, Hashem, give them their food be'itoi, in its proper time. Rabbi Nizal says, be'itoi, zeh bechinas he'oras haratzon anal. That term be'itoi that's being used there really means this concept of he'oras haratzon. Where do we see it? Bechinas, as we quoted in the beginning of this Torah in the Likutei Moran, we quoted the pasuk that there's going to come a time when the tzaddikim are going to be so close to Hashem that the angels are going to be saying to the tzaddikim, what is Hashem doing? Ma po'al kel, what? The angels are going to say what? Meaning they're going to see that they don't know, and they're going to be coming to the tzaddikim to ask the tzaddikim, what is Hashem doing? And the way that pasuk begins is the word ko'es, like the time when Ye'omar le'Yaakov le'Yisrael, it will be said to the Jewish nation, Ma po'al kel. K'moshom Rabbi Senazal, and as the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi, Asidim tzadikim sheyihye mechitzosom lifnim mimalchei hashoreis. There's going to come a time in the future when the tzaddikim, their boundary, their partition, will be closer to Hashem than the angels. Rabbi Nizal says, mechitza ze bechinas makifin. The term mechitza, a partition, is like a makif. A makif is something that surrounds something, like a fence. A fence is a partition. A partition surrounding a field, surrounding a house. Shehem hamechitza shel asechel. This is referring to the mechitza, the boundary of the seichel. Ula'osid, in the future, yihye mechitzos hamakifin shel hatzadikim lemalo mimakifin shel malachei hashoreis. The fences of the makifin of the tzadikim are going to be on a higher level than those of the malachim. Va'oz yihye hasagosam bebechinas ma. And then the tzadikim are going to connect to this level called ma. What is it, which is above Chochmah, the Keser? Bechinas ma po'al keel. V'zois ha'he'ora shel bechinas ma hu bechinas he'ora sarotzoin. This light that's referred to as ma is another term for this he'ora sarotzoin, a light of deep desire and longing. Shehu lemalo min hakoil, which is above everything. It's above all the standard levels, above all the spheroids. Vehu mezgale be'eso achila. And this light of he'oras haratzon is revealed specifically during eating. Bebechinas, as it says in the pasuk, vi'ato noisen lehem es ochlam. You, Hashem, give them their food be'itoi. Be'itoi, with this ace. With this ke'es yomer, be'itoi daika, b'chinas oras haratzon, she'b'chinas ma, b'chinas ko'es ye'omar li'ak v'l'Yisrael ma, b'chinas makifin anal, she'im b'chinas ma, she'ze b'chinas oras haratzon. Rabbi Nizal here is presenting a chiddush, that again, the time of eating is a very, very holy, significant time. We mentioned that, again, the Chumash, we find in the Chumash, the holiest place on earth, where Jews felt the greatest love and longing to Hashem, and Hashem felt closest to us, was the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the deepest connection to the greatest spiritual site on earth, where a person could make the deepest connection to Hashem and feel the greatest desire to come close to Hashem, to be pure. And if you look in the Chumash, all the karbonos that are brought, it always says, L'rotzoin lefnei Hashem. What's the purpose of these karbonos? L'rotzoin lefnei Hashem. L'rotzoinchem tizbachu. Take a look. Repeated many times. The mission statement is rotzoin. What all of this is about is expressing our desire. We want to come close to Hashem. We want to make good. We want to correct our sins by bringing these karbonos. The word karba means to come close. L'karev. We want to come close to Hashem. And in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem told us to make this building to express His goodwill towards us. Now again, what was the Mishkan composed of? The pasuk says, Kol nediv lev yivieho es trumas Hashem. Every person who has a desire to give, nediv lev, a generous feeling, that's the term that's used, nediv lev, should contribute, should donate their donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was comprised of all the goodwill of all of Klal Yisrael. One person's goodwill was displayed by bringing gold, another person silver, another person wood, another person this. Lahavdil, a person wants to show how much they like somebody. They bake a cake, they bring, I'm bringing you this gift. A gift is an expression of rotzon, goodwill. I feel so good towards you, I'm expressing it in this thing that I want to give to you. And when a person accepts, when an important person accepts a gift, that's an expression of rotzon. I like you so much, I'm willing to accept a gift from you. Sometimes a person says, I don't need your gift, I don't want your gift. But a person shows they like someone so much, the love is so great, it brings about this giving and taking. That's what the Beis HaMikdash was about. The Gemara says, today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what are our korbanos today? Our table. Shulchanoi shalota mechaper kemizbeach. A Jew's table. If a person eats bigdusha, that's korbanos. And again, that's the time when a person can receive this he'oras harotzoin, this incredible high-level light, this deep yearning and longing for Hashem. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain it and prove it and show it much more clearly. The fact that this incredible high level of spiritual light is revealed specifically at the time of eating, da, you should know, that a person who wants to be strong, he wants to gird his loins, to be a supporter, to take care of a family, to take care of a, to support a wife, to support a family, litein parnosa lahatluyim boy, to provide parnosa for those who are dependent on him, hu tzorich sheyiyeh ish chayil. That person has to be strong, powerful. V'loyiyeh hepech, not the opposite, shekoyren roya mazel, shlamazel, not to be a shlamazel, not to be a slouch, not to be lazy, not to be weak. Because in order to be a provider, in order to provide parnasa or livelihood, the person needs authority, kingdom. Because all parnasa comes from the sphere of malchus. The Zohar HaKadosh explains this in many different ways, that all the sphere, there's a pasuk, kol hanecholim hoilchem alayam. All streams feed into the ocean, into the sea. The other spheres are referred to as necholim, streams. Each one is a light. They all feed into the malchus. The malchus is a composite of all of them put together. And the malchus is the one that provides shefa to the world. The malchus is the distributor, like a distributor receives from different manufacturers, and he's the one who gives out to all the individual places. This is why we mentioned in the past the pasuk poiseach es yodecho. We're going to see more on this. Hashem, open your hands, umasbia, and give satiation lechol chai, to all living beings, rotzain, rotzain. The first letters of lechol chai rotzain spell the word rochel, backwards. And Rochel represents the Malchus. Rochel represents the Shechina, the sphere of Malchus. We mentioned she is the fourth leg of the Merkava of Hashem, sometimes referred to as Dovra Melech, and sometimes Rochel Imenu. The word Ior, Aleph Yud Yud Reish, is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rochel. That the fourth leg, Rochel represents, Rochel is Mairav, she's the West. It says Rochel Mevaka Al Boneho. Rachel cries over her children. The first letters of Rachel, Mevaka, Alboneh, spell the word Mairav, West, which is where the sun sets, which is again the Malchus. The Malchus has no light of its own. Chochma is light. Chochma Sodom Toyer Ponov. Mairav, where the sun sets, is Malchus, is the Shechina. I went a little bit deep and a little bit quickly for those who could relate to this. For those who can't relate it, take my word. That again, the Malchus, just like here again, a father brings Parnassa into the house. Generally, He's the one who's supposed to be the breadwinner. But again, he gives the parnasa to the wife. She's the one who translates it. She's the one who knows to buy meat, to buy vegetables, to buy this, to cook, to bake. She's the one that's doling it out to the children. She's the one that's turning it into food, into giving it out and using it the way it needs to be used. Question?
How does this relate to... We know that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem gives a set amount of parnasa to everyone. And this makes it sound like if I do, I'm going to get, and if I don't do, I'm not going to get. How does the two things work together?
Good question. First of all, Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. Rosh Hashanah is Melech, 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 HaMelech HaKadosh. Melech, Melech, that's what we're... And therefore, the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah is the day where Hashem defines the parnasa for the year. Now, people are under a misconception. People think Hashem decides on Rosh Hashanah what I'm going to get, and it doesn't matter if I put in effort or not. That's not true. All the commentaries on that Gemara make it clear that that's dependent on me putting in a reasonable, proper effort. If I put in what's a normal, reasonable, proper effort, Hashem has decided how much I should get. If I get locked in a safe, if somebody locks me up in prison and I can't earn any money, it's not that I'm going to get that earning regardless. It's only if I'm putting in, and that's what Rabbi Nizal is telling us here, that in order for me to be able to be a provider for my family or for my country, if I'm a leader of a country or a city, I can't be a schlamazel. I can't be lazy, weak. I have to have a certain strength, a certain level of authority, malchus. K'may shekosuv b'melech, as we find in the prophet Daniel, the Torah tells us there that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a gigantic tree that had all kinds of food on it, food to provide for every single possible living being in the world. And the dream had many other details, and he asked Daniel to interpret the dream for him. And Daniel said to him, Ilona di Chazisa, this tree that you saw, di Revo Utkeif, which was great and powerful, umozoin lecholabei, and it had food for everyone on it, Antu Malka, that's you, the king. That's the Melech. V'alkein, and therefore, mi sheroitze lekabel parnosa, a person who wants to be able to receive parnosa from Hashem and be a distributor, be a provider for a family or a city, tzorech sheyeh loy k'tzas memshola, has to have some memshola, kidei sheyeh loy eze shaychus im amalchus, so that he's making somewhat of a connection to this midah of Malchus. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is why we find in Megillas Rus, that Boaz says to Rus, le'es ha'oichel, at the time that they're eating, he says to her, gishi haloim, come close, approach me. And the Gemara says in Zvachim, ein haloim elo Malchus. The term haloim refers to Malchus. He was portending here that from her was destined to come forth Dovid HaMelech, the kingdom of Klal Yisrael, the eternal kingdom of Klal Yisrael was going to come from her. When did Boaz say this? Le'es ha'oichel. At the time they were eating, Boaz says to her, Geshi haloim. The Gemara brings proof from Moshe Rabbeinu that by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said to him, Al tikrav haloim, don't get close. At the vision in the burning thorn bush. And the Gemara says, Haloim means Malchus. Ki tzorich sheyeh eloi memshola b'chinas Malchus le'es ho'oichel. Because a person must have royalty, a certain quality of royalty, Malchus, during le'es ho'oichel, related to eating. Now, interesting, here Rabbein Ezal is referring to acquiring parnasa. Rabbein Ezal uses a similar term about derech eretz, manners when a person's eating. Rabbein Ezal says that there are many people who have trouble with overeating and all kinds of terrible eating habits because when there are people around, when they're sitting in a respectable audience, they'll eat like a mensch. They'll take small bites, they won't grab, they won't... And when nobody's around, they can eat from the pot. They can put their feet into the pot, not their hands and feet into the pot. And Rabbein Ezal said that the correct way for a Jew to eat is no matter if anybody's around or no one is around, a person to always be eating as if they're in the presence of royalty, as if they're in the presence of an important person. And again, this is an aspect of Malchus. This is an aspect of royalty, that I'm not a servant. I'm a member of royalty, and I don't forget that when nobody's around. I always maintain a level of dignity, self-respect, and respect in general. Because this is how a person draws parnasa to themselves. And therefore, when a husband girds his loins towards a wife, and he obligates himself to be the one to provide parnasa, as is written in the marriage contract, I will work and I will respect and I will provide for you. Then Hashem gives him some authority, as it says in the Chumash, "Vehu yim shoel boch." Hashem said to Chava, the husband will rule over you. Because by having this memshala, by having this authority, this kingdom, he's able to provide. That enables him to provide parnasa. V'chein kol hasorim, and so to all leaders, a mayor of a city, a governor, a president, a king, kol mi shetzorech liten parnasa yoiser la'anoshim rabim atluyim boy, any person who's responsible to provide parnasa for a larger group of people that are dependent on him, who tzorech sheyeh lo yoiser memshala, has to have a higher level of authority, of royalty, of malchus, kedei sheyuchal lahamshich haparnasa al yidei malchus kanal, so that by being connected to that mid of malchus, that readies him to be able to receive parnasa from Hashem and to be able to pass it on to the family, to the city, to whoever it is. Any questions, please? How does a person get this malchus? We know the Gemara says, "Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim heim," that every Jew is a member of royalty. A Jew is a member of royalty. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, "Yisrael mamshaloisav." The Jews are the kingdom of Hashem. V'atem tihuli mamleches koyanim. Hashem says, "I want you to be for me a kingdom of priests." To the degree that a Jew respects Hashem, the degree that a person accepts upon himself Hashem's authority, to that degree he has authority. The Gemara says a person who accepts upon himself oil malchus shamayim, they remove from him any other yoke. He's not a servant to anybody else. He's not under anybody else's authority or control. A person who rejects Hashem's authority, Hashem puts other authority. Hashem gives them a lot. You don't want me to be your boss? I'll give you other bosses. There's a part, the Gemara says, Avodaihem v'loy avodim l'avodim. They're my servants. They're not servants to servants. So to the degree that a person accepts upon himself Hashem's authority, to that person, he's not a servant, he's a king. He's a member of royalty. He's a prince. And to the degree that a person doesn't acknowledge Hashem's malchus, then he feels all kinds of other bosses.
In the vein of that a person must kind of take on himself the responsibility, the position of malchus to, you know, to get malchus, and then to be able to provide, why wouldn't it, so in other words, emulating God versus being a servant of God, taking on himself as a servant of Hashem rather than a kind of king of others.
They both really go together. This is what I was trying to explain. When a person recognizes, a person knows their place, when we know our place relative to Hashem, then we rule over everything else. The Torah speaks about, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, an animal will not attack a human being. If an animal attacks a person, it's because it didn't see a human being, it saw an animal. This person wasn't behaving like a human being. This person gave up their status as a human being. What is my status as a human being? To the degree that I recognize the authority of Hashem, to that degree I'm a human being. To that degree I'm significant. I'm above all everything else in the world. Everything else is below me. The moment I forget that, I forget Hashem's authority, I lose my position. Because again, what makes me royalty is my connection to Hashem. It says that a servant of a king is a king. Somebody who insults a servant of the king is stepping on the king. The Gemara says a person should be rather be the tail of a lion than the head of a fox. Why? Because when you step on the tail of a lion, the tail won't bite you, the head will bite you. So here again, a person who looks upon themselves as the tail of the lion. I'm the smallest one, I'm a tail, but of a lion, of Hashem, the king. That person is royalty. That person is royalty. And a person who considers themselves ahead, they're ahead, but not of the lion, a fox, ahead of a fox, they're much smaller, much lower than the tail of the lion in that respect. We'll hold it over here for now. In the next piece, Rabbi Nassal is going to explain where does the Malchus get the Parnassa from. And he's going to go into detail, putting labels on everything, exactly where the Malchus receives the Parnassa from, to define the levels above it that it's taking from. And Yitzhak Hashem, I hope we'll continue next week.